You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Staring at two different views on your window ledge. Coffee is gone cold, it's like time froze. There you go, wishing, floating down, I wish it would. It's like I'm always causing problems, causing hell.
What's up, people? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas.
Three Peas.
It is Three Peas, but I'll three get there. Piece. You're fucking jumping the gun
in
again.
A podcast.
I'm not
three
ready
piece.
For that yet. I
You're
was
going
to tell everyone.
I thought you might have forgot.
I was going to bring in the third P, okay, but we're
so
not
sorry.
Quite there yet.
I'm so sorry.
Now, they haven't heard your voice in a while. Gerald's here.
Andy is across from Gerald at the black table.
And Andy's in La Casa.
And is that what I'm supposed to say? I forget.
For our January edition, what are we doing today? What are we counting down?
I have no idea. You didn't tell me.
Oh, I didn't tell you.
No.
Let me text it to you real quick, okay. And then you can tell everyone.
Yeah. Top five superhero movies. Now, is that
that's
what you said? Superhero movies.
I specifically did that for you because okay. You get, you know, existential.
X.
Is that a word?
That's important.
Did I say that properly?
Do you know what that word means?
Do you have a thesaurus on you?
Okay.
But you get like that. So
yes.
I wanted to give you.
That's good. Define it. Because before we said something else, like some
comic book movies. Right. Or comic movies.
Yeah. But
all right. But look. Okay. Now that's exciting because we're counting down. This is a big. I mean, superhero movie, right? I mean, every week
it's a
superhero movie being released. You're a superhero. You're here.
Oh,
I mean,
thank you.
You know that happens. Yeah. But I mean, it's a big deal. So everybody's really kind of rallying around this topic.
Are they?
A lot of feedback online.
Online buzz, yeah.
Superhero movies, man. It's a thing.
Dude, it's a thing.
People love it.
We need a superhero.
So that's a big deal.
It's a very big deal. Tell me.
Speaking of superheroes.
Tell me.
We have a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
Now, this is the first, okay? He listens to the show every week.
Does he?
Are you a patron? Oh, he's not a patron. Never mind. Get the fuck out of here.
give us a dollar a month?
I thought he was a patron.
I even have a shirt here for him.
He might as well be a patron. He listens every month. He's awesome. But we both...
He's a good man.
We
Beautiful.
Both have worked with him in our past lives. He's a friend of us and a friend of the show.
Michael Hill!
Michael Thrill is what I call him. That's his nickname. Because it's very thrilling to know this guy. Michael, what's up, brother? Say hello to the people.
Hello.
Michael's here. And this is a first for us because he's here, like physically.
Yeah, we're sharing a microphone, so we're doing the whole Temptations Harmony thing. Like, I'll say.
You guys should do that. You guys should do that. I like that. But Michael's here, and he's a frequent listener, contributor to the show, and, you know, this is his genre, man. I mean.
Genre.
Michael, why don't you get up to the mic and tell people what you're doing? Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but he's going to make us look like fucking idiots
yes.
today.
He has what's it called, a grid? What's
now, he's going to tell, I want to tell everyone, but he showed up with a
matrix
scoring system for how he chose his top five, and I'm not trying to be funny, but you did.
Oh, yeah, no, when I initially made this list, I started with 20 movies and narrowed it down to 8 pretty easily, and then I just could not narrow it down beyond 8, so I had to come up with a scoring process.
Mm-hmm. See? Intelligence.
Hey. Yeah.
This is intelligence.
I should have done that too.
This is what happens when you study, when you read.
I should have done that too. I should have done that too, you know? Yeah. I wrote down 5 movies that I got a bunch on my honorable mentions. But I'm doing this thing now where I only list 10. So we do our top 5, and at the end, I'll give you the 5 that would have rounded out my top 10.
This was actually, I was surprised at how hard this list was for me. When you mentioned it, I was like, no problem. I love superhero movies.
Right.
But as I started thinking of them, I was like, yeah, that's 5. Well, that's 6. Well, that's 9. And it just kept coming
it's
to me.
Tough
so
to
I had to do genres. I had to do like 5 genres. Like, okay, this is this movie. This is this movie.
Right. And Michael, what were you saying? You were saying you specifically only included one main character from... Or one movie from a main character.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at certain characters and they've had movies over the last 30 years and it looks like, well, I'm going to end up with 2 of this character and 2 of this character and then I'm going to forget a bunch of other characters or going to forget, certain other genres, like Andy said.
Right.
Diplomatic. Right. Very diplomatic, this process.
It sounds good, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys have on your list. I got to pull mine up here. Once a fucking again, Andy brought nothing with him. He showed up with no pants on, nothing in his pockets. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Am I the only one? You're
yes.
not surprised. Are you surprised that I can remember 5 titles in my head?
I mean, no. I can remember remember my five titles, but I can't remember all the fine details necessarily.
That's what it is the details. Yeah. See, I just come up with the details off the top of my head. Like, yeah, number five because...
I think it started this guy.
He wore green that one time. And yeah. I think that just green's a cool color. Yeah, it's the color of money and trees.
So you're saying Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern's on your list? Oh, good to know.
There you
good
go.
Good to know. Hey, you got to give it some love.
Oh, I forgot about that.
All right, so you want to do this? We're not going to do the one cool thing this week. We got a guest here.
I have very cool things.
Oh, well, go ahead.
No, you don't want to.
No, I mean, just let me preface it by saying no one cares about you. But go ahead and tell us.
I have a cool thing.
You do have a cool thing.
Here's what we'll do.
Let's do the one cool
Michael
thing
will do the cool thing. Michael has a cool thing.
No, you guys both do it.
I have a cool thing? Actually, I
you
don't have a cool
You said you had
thing.
One.
No, I don't have a cool
Oh, you were kidding.
Yes. Yeah,
Michael, what's your one cool thing?
I am now finished planning a trip for my children to go to Disney World.
Woo! That is a cool thing.
That's a really cool thing.
When are you guys going?
Well, since my daughter's not going to listen to this, we're leaving February 28th.
No one's going to listen to this.
So they have no idea.
Hey. My oldest daughter knows that we're going. My youngest daughter is kind of clueless. The oldest daughter has no idea when we're going. Okay. Just that it's happening this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Interesting.
My cool thing was I went to the dentist, so I mean.
His is better.
Much better.
Yours is much better. I don't know if you know this. You're leaving on our due date.
Yeah, when you told me that, I kind of laughed.
Is that why you're doing that?
He's leaving
a baby,
because
I'm getting the fuck out of town.
Exactly.
I don't want to be here with this.
Gerald's
man.
Procreating. Run.
I mean, if that's why, hey, I get it.
No, I don't want to have to work extra because you're leaving. Since we do actually work
that's
for
fair.
The same company,
that's
what it is.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, Andy, you ready?
Are you having a boy or a girl? Do you know yet?
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
Are you stoked? I mean,
we're
February 28th.
Do you
want
me to
company?
Tell you guys what the name is?
Can you? Are you allowed
is
to?
Is that allowed?
On the airwaves?
I shouldn't do that.
I don't know.
Wives don't like that. Oh, no, wait. I won't do that. She listens to the show. She'll get mad at me.
No.
I'll tell you guys off air.
Has she announced
it? To me, I don't know.
See, that's why Michael's here, because he knows the
You know, right?
Politics.
I told you, right?
No.
Oh, I thought I told you at work.
I didn't even know it was a boy.
Oh, well.
It's a boy. Another Gerald.
Wow. Like you said, run for the hills, brother. All right, so you ready? I won't say it. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, that's the same as telling it. But I guess not telling thousands of people or 10 people.
I'll lie to her and tell her
two?
I didn't tell you.
How many of you are?
Whereas if it's on tape, she'll know I told you. That's what it is. All right, you want to do it? Let's count down our top five superhero movies. Woo! You guys ready?
Oh, yeah. Totally ready.
Let's do it.
I am stoked.
Five. Four. Three. Two. One.
And here we go.
All right, guys. So let's let Michael go first. He's a guest.
I think that's a very
you know
good
he's
idea.
A guest. He's got the scoring system in place. Yes. Yeah, he's gonna make me sound like I've been reading comics since I was a teenager. He's gonna make me sound
have
like an
you
idiot.
Really?
Yeah. Well, certain ones. But this guy's got it going.
Playboy
on.
Is not a comic.
Oh shit. Oh, never mind.
They do have comics in them though, Andy.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
Well, there you go. Yeah, see, I didn't know that. I mean, I watch it for the
Garfield doesn't count.
Garfield.
He's a little bit of a superhero.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. So I'm gonna let Michael go first because he's a guest. He came over today. He got us a little headphone jack for headphones.
Yeah. And biscuits.
He brought biscuits.
Biscuits.
This guy, come on.
Yes.
I mean, this guy.
I get offered Keurig coffee when I get here.
It's Keurig, but yes. Keurig. I do offer you
Keurig
as well, but
coffee.
That doesn't apply to what we're
Keurig
drinking.
Keurig coffee.
And he's Michael making the rest biscuits. Of our listeners look bad, though. This guy's on point here. All right, Michael, I'm going to let you start us off, man. You're going to get the train rolling here, brother. And
all
you
right.
can give your criteria. Go nuts. What is your number five superhero
My number film? Five almost didn't make the list because I feel like it's not truly a superhero movie. I think it's a situation where the superhero takes a backseat to the villain, and therefore I had a really hard time with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's also guaranteed to be crossover because my number five is 2008's The Dark Knight.
I like how you Woo! Referred your notes there. And I will say, holy fucking low, brother. Low on your list.
Almost
you
didn't
so?
Make
yeah.
the list.
Man.
Tied with
wow.
two movies that are now in my honorable mentions.
All right, look, I'm not going to elaborate too much on your pick because I'm going to be talking about this specific movie later.
Yes, I need to know why. So
Michael,
what's some
yeah,
of the criteria?
Tell us,
what bumped this up to number five?
Tell us what you love about it. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, the acting is great, especially by one person.
Mm-hmm.
I think he really carries the movie.
Yeah,
Heath Ledger owns this movie.
Woo!
Yeah,
it really is a villain story, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's why it's so low on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I think I probably like it better as a movie than a couple of the other movies on my list, but it's not because it's a superhero movie. It's a crime drama. But
True.
It's hard to ignore the fact that Batman is there and he's an integral part of the
he's,
story.
He's around.
He's there somewhere.
Kind
he's lurking
of the
in the
antagonist.
Shadows.
He is, isn't he? And then there's this guy in his hat. He
yeah.
looks like a bat.
Yeah. I well, You want me to hold my thought? I'll hold my thoughts.
I knew this was going to be a bit of a conflict in my choices.
Well, it's okay. I mean, at least it's on there. I will hold my thoughts on it because it's coming up on my list later. But I will say that I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just can't not call it a Batman movie. I mean, it's The Dark Knight. You know what I mean? But I do agree with you that it's like, if we were doing a crime drama list, it could be on there.
Oh, yeah.
If we were doing a movie with the best villains, it could be on there.
And I'm going to talk about this a little more later. Hint, hint, spoiler. But I agree that one of my favorite things about the movie is that it's villain central.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's villain centered. I love that about it. I love that it's about this iconic villain, the Joker. Yeah. And Heath Ledger just kills it.
And it's no mystery that's, well, to Michael at least, that's my favorite villain of all time. Period.
Yes, and
you kind of look like him.
The Joker. When you look at The Dark Knight, it makes me look at the fact that they're making a Joker movie and kind of laugh because it's not going to compare.
It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough, man.
Like you said, that kind of is a Joker movie.
Really. I mean, Heath Ledger. I mean, I was going to mention a couple other things, but they might come up later. But let's wrap back around to the Joker conversation because I am very interested to see Joaquin's Phoenix take on that, especially after
Joaquin Phoenix is going to be the Joker. That's right. Yes, ooh.
Especially after the shit show that was Jared Leto.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Jared Leto.
That's my number one. You've already ruined it. The Suicide
Squad. All right, no mentions of superhero films. Okay. If that's on your list, though, get the fuck out of here. Okay.
Suicide Squad is another villain movie?
It is another villain movie. That's accurate.
I'm so sorry.
All right, Andy, you want to go next? You want me to go next?
Okay. Let me go. You're the guy. You're our leader, so you can go. No. You can go last. You can be the big guns. My list was very, very difficult. So what I did is I made these kind of genres, or I made these kind of taglines. Now, number five, there could have been two at number five, but I chose this one. A lot of it's nostalgia. A lot of it's nostalgia, I admit. But I'm going to call this From the Shadows. My number five movie is the late 80s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, once again, do you consider them superheroes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are definitely superheroes.
Yeah, what I like about it From the Shadows is because these turtles, they stumble upon this goo. They're trained by Splinter, this rat who was also gooified, who trained from his master in Japan. And they're like the underbelly heroes, meaning that they're not supposed to be seen. They're ninjas. So they come and they save the day in New York, but they're never to be seen. Mm-hmm. So I think it's funny. This was the introduction to my superhero movie life. That was one of the first ones I loved.
My number five is too.
I had it on tape. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was my jam. That's my number five. Cool, I love it. To this day, I can watch it. The fight scenes are great. It's funny. Casey Jones, Class of Pain 101. Yeah. Your instructor's Casey Jones.
I haven't seen that in probably 20 years.
Man, that's a great movie. So that's my number five.
Have you seen it recently?
I haven't seen it recently, but I actually read an article about it last night.
Really?
So, okay. Yeah, no, they were comparing it and 1989's Batman. So about how well they both hold up today.
Interestingly enough, and I'll go ahead and spill the beans, that my number five could have been Batman or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They were fighting for that spot.
All right, cool. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for Andy at number five.
Cricket. You just got to know what a crumpet is to play cricket.
Oh, so look, you mentioned, Andy, that was kind of the conduit to superhero films for you.
That was my nostalgia.
And my number five is too.
Yeah.
So I was 5 or 6 years old the first time I saw this.
All right.
And you got to think of seeing this through the eyes of 5 or 6 year old boy. I mean, just blew me away. I'd never seen anything like it. It does not hold up quite as well if you watch it today, but it was revolutionary. You know, another thing I've mentioned on other shows before I spill what the pick is that today, every month there's a superhero movie or
that's
two.
True. That's
I mean,
true.
They're just fucking, it's its own genre now. It's they're flying off the shelves every month, right? But go ahead.
It goes way beyond genre.
Yeah, true, yeah. It's its own world, yeah. But in the 80s, you were lucky to get one every 5 years. Do you know what I mean? You'd get one, and then you'd get the sequel 3 or 4 years later, and then that was it. You know what I mean? So in the 80s, we had maybe a handful of what would be considered superhero movies. But this is not the original, but it's the first one I saw at a very young age. Very impressionable on me. Christopher Reeve, Margot Kidder, the sequel to Superman. Superman 2 from 1980.
General, haven't you ever heard of freedom of the press?
Superman,
thank God. I mean... Get him!
Come to me, son of Jor-El! Kneel before Zod! Nice.
Is my number five.
Kneel before Zod.
Kneel before Zod. We're talking about villains. I mean, General Zod is one of the all times. He would actually maybe make my top five villain list if we ever do that. Just tremendous. Christopher Reeve's my Superman.
Now, is that the one with the three villains that are caught in glass in the universe?
Yep, led by General Zod.
Out of the glass, General Zod. So they are from Superman's planet, right?
Right.
And they were criminals who were
Krypton. Yeah.
Yeah, they're criminals that were trapped. It varies on the name, but the Phantom Zone, and they get freed and come to Earth. And there you go. You've got villains that are on the same level as Superman,
which makes it awesome because Superman is obviously Superman. Right. Now you have these three super people who have the same kind of power.
Right, and it's a little controversy around this film because of the Richard Donner cut, which I've seen as well. I like both of them. Of course, what I saw in the 80s was the original, so that was kind of what I grew up on. But the Richard Donner cut's cool too. It's got a little bit of a different ending, but I just love Superman. Christopher Reeve is my Superman.
Yeah.
And DC has fallen off, all right, in the last 10 years or so. And this is kind of the golden age of comic book movies. Yeah. They weren't making a lot of them.
We didn't really have the effects back then either. If you think about the Supermans, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Batman, the original Batman, Tim Burton Batman, they didn't have the effects to really just green screen it all and to throw all these beautiful big things in there that really get the imagination going. They had to work on storyline, acting characters. So.
Sure. And I love Christopher Reeve, man. And Superman from 78 is really good, too. Marlon Brando in there. That was more of an origin story that kind of set it up, and I didn't see that until much later.
Yeah.
But I saw the 1980 Superman 2 when I was a little boy, when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I was like, wow, this is fucking crazy, man. And I was just actually showing scenes to, I was making my list, and I was showing a couple scenes to Logan. He's 5.
Yeah.
And he was the same way. He was just like big eyes, like, I want to watch scenes from Superman, you know? So,
that's awesome. Have you seen a Superman movie since that you've liked?
Nah.
Like, what was the Superman Returns? Returns.
Okay. Yeah, it was okay.
And then there was, the Man of Steel?
Man of Steel.
Did you like either one?
But I thought Man of Steel was really good the first time I watched it. Well, really good's a stretch. I thought.
Is that you did?
Okay. Wow. I thought Man of Steel was tolerable to okay the first time I watched it. And with subsequent viewings and retrospect, I've come to hate it.
All right. Yeah, Superman Returns was okay. But I mean,
I've met a lot of people like that. You know,
Brandon Routh is great.
Time. Yeah.
He's wonderful as the Atom on CW's DC Universe, but I did not feel him as Superman.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
That was just kind of middle of the road for me.
Yeah.
But Christopher Reeve's my Superman. We might come back around to that. All right, Andy, you're up, man. Michael's up.
Number four, Mikey.
What you got over there, man?
Number four is especially poignant because Gerald said the name several times already.
I didn't realize that.
But he didn't realize it because he was just saying his son's name. Because my number four is Logan.
I've never seen Logan.
Oh, come on, brother. You got to correct that.
This is Hugh Jackman's final Wolverine appearance. It came out not last year anymore. It's 2017 when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was an emotional movie. I was crying multiple times throughout the movie. And it fulfilled the prophecy that was given to us in The Wolverine. Most people didn't like that much, but I thoroughly enjoyed The Wolverine. But it fulfilled the prophecy where he was going to die with his heart in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely did that at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, Andy, I'm sorry. Yeah. You should have seen this movie already.
Yeah, this is an epic masterpiece, brother.
Andy hasn't seen this movie because he and I stopped working together because I would have
He would have made you
egged
watch.
Him to watch it.
I'll give it to you today when you leave.
The acting world, though, honestly, when I look at the people who play superheroes, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine is one of my favorite. When I look at him, I'm like, oh, that's Wolverine.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
Yes.
He's synonymous with that character.
He does a wonderful job.
Yes. And Daphne Keene plays X-23 in this movie, and she is fantastic. She's a brand new actress. Amazing depth of emotion, and with a movie that has so much emotion going into it, it's really hard to watch, but it's beautiful. The reason it is as low as it is because it doesn't have the rewatchability that some of the movies higher on my list have.
I agree with that. This is more crossover with me, so I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard really good things about it, but no, I haven't seen it.
But like you said, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, man. I mean, he's Wolverine. And he embraces that. I mean, as an actor, when he's talking in interviews and stuff, he knows he's Wolverine. You know, Deadpool wants to get him to do a cameo.
I'll mention this guy later. He's probably like my number two or three as far as actors chosen to play superhero characters. When you look at him, you're like, that's Wolverine.
Absolutely.
That's what he looks like. That's him to me.
No question. I pity the guy that has to play Wolverine when they reboot it in 10 years.
Beautiful would play Wolverine.
All right, so go ahead.
You mean next year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Oh, my goodness.
That is a sad face emoji. All right, Andy, what's your number four, man?
Now, my number four, it has a little bit of nostalgia because growing up, this was my favorite superhero. My brother collected comic books growing up. I never did, but I always asked him to buy me this comic book every time it came out just because I loved the character so much. So I'm going to call this the origin story. Everyone likes a good origin story because it gets into the background. Batman Begins is one of my favorite origin stories. I think there's so many good ones out there. But this is Iron Man. Now, Iron Man for a couple different reasons. One, nostalgia.
Well, one huge reason.
One huge nostalgia. I love the character.
I can tell you.
Second, he beats out Hugh Jackman. Robert Downey Jr. is my favorite character chosen to play a superhero. Yeah. I think him as Tony Stark is absolutely wonderful. This egotistical, just philanthropist, rich guy. But I mean, the origin story is beautiful because he's this rich guy. He's the son of the man who built all these weapons. So he's kind of
He's a billionaire. He's much like Bruce Wayne with the technological engineering.
Then he gets like bombarded. He gets basically locked in a cell. His heart's hooked up to a battery. So he uses his brain. He builds the suit and spends the rest of the movie perfecting and building this wonderful machine called Iron Man.
Yeah.
So as far as the origin story, I just think Iron Man is wonderful. Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., thank you for blessing us.
There's been speculation that I was involved in the events that occurred, the freeway and the rooftop.
I'm sorry, Mr. Stark, but do you honestly expect us to believe that that was a bodyguard in a suit that conveniently appeared, despite the fact that
I know that it's confusing. It is one thing to question the official story and another thing entirely to make wild accusations or insinuate that I'm a superhero.
I never said you were a superhero.
Didn't?
Mm-mm.
Well, good, because that would be outlandish and fantastic. I'm just not the hero type, clearly, with this laundry list of character defects, all the mistakes I made, largely public. The truth is, I am Iron Man.
RDJ, great casting. You know, that's on my honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's on my honorable mentions as well, especially since it's basically the foundation block of the Marvel Cinematic
Universe. That's what I was going to say.
That's the number one reason. Absolutely. So I forgot to mention that. You're talking about all this stuff that Marvel Studios have done. I mean, everything. It started with Iron Man. Who's the director of Iron Man?
It was Jon Favreau.
Yeah, I mean, so that was the beginning of their vision.
That was everything, man.
And you can see Jon Favreau throughout the movie since he plays Happy.
Happy. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I love it.
That's my honorable mentions. That one would have fell as my number eight. So it's one of the best. It started basically Marvel Universe.
It's a great movie. Yeah. It's a great movie.
All right, whose turn is it? I'm lost. It's me, right? Okay, all right.
Did you have it written down on the list, right? Because I don't want you to have to remember another title.
Have you been cheating off my shit over here? Have you been looking at my shit? You been looking at my shit?
No.
Andy usually does that. Are you doing that?
I haven't looked at my shit over here. I can show you my list.
No, it's okay.
You'll see. I didn't look at yours.
It's all right. Okay, so the reason I was asking is you're going to give me shit for this one. I think you're going to give me shit for it. We're friends, so I want you to talk shit on the mic when the time comes. And I know you will, but you'll probably agree with me. You'll agree with me on this. Michael might kind of give me shit.
So number four. Okay.
All right. This is my number four.
Break the ice. Come on. Give it to us.
This is my number four. It's the only animated film on my list. We'll start with that.
Okay.
Okay. It is also the only film that would not fall under a cinematic universe umbrella.
Okay.
It is Disney Pixar's The Incredibles.
Oh!
It's on my honorable mention, okay. Sir.
That's a great movie. I didn't think about that. That's a wonderful movie.
I was worried that Michael
was
going
to be like, my top eight.
Okay.
It was very hard for this to not be on the list. Right. It actually tied with The Dark Knight in points.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
that's a good
with
movie,
the
man.
Matrix system. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. I mean, the animation, the family story, the action, right? I mean, this is a Pixar movie that was just all action.
Yeah.
It just, you know, because you worry about taking your kids to the movies. You worry, are they going to be enthralled for 2 hours? Are they going to get antsy? And we went to see the sequel with my son, which I'm not naming. I'm naming the original. But that one was also very good. And, you know, he just sat there the whole time. Was just intrigued the whole time. My teenage daughter loved it. Obviously, I love it. But just so many great characters. Mm-hmm. They're going to do a Baby Jack-Jack kind of spinoff, which I can't wait for.
Baby Jack-Jack steals the movie in one scene. It's ridiculous.
The raccoon scene.
Woman is for the greater good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, just great characters, man. I mean, Elastigirl, Mr. Incredible. You know, they were able to create these out of thin air. They didn't exist before. But after you saw that movie, you had a sense that these were characters that have been around for years.
And you cared about them. You cared about this family.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it has an analog in the Marvel Universe in that this is our Fantastic Four. This is the only good Fantastic Four movie we've had. It's a family of four with superpowers, and they save the day.
Oh, man.
We didn't get that in three other attempts.
When Mr. Incredible, Mr. Incredible is captured and he finds out or he thinks his family's been killed, I mean, that brings me to tears every time.
Yeah.
I mean, I get choked up even thinking about it. Just that. And when he tries to grab Syndrome, but he grabs the girl and he's just like, you know, what else can you take from me?
I could break
you like a toothpick.
Right.
Just that anger and that emotion. Right. And then when he sees him again for the first time, she's all pissed, but he's like, I'm just glad you're alive.
And Jason Lee's Syndrome. How about voice casting?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. No, the voice casting in this movie is great.
Woo. Perfect. I didn't really like what they did with the quote unquote villain in Incredibles 2. That was my only kind of gripe with the movie. The whole
I saw it coming, but you know, it was
what was it called again? The whole video in your mind and shit. What was it called? It was
I don't remember exactly what they called it, but I mean
Screenslaver.
Yeah.
I didn't really dig that. That was my only gripe with the sequel, but it was beautiful animation.
It created a conflict that they needed so that the family dynamic was broken so that you had the kids actually being the stars for a change.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first one, it really came down to the parents pushing the kids and having to kind of take the reins off. Whereas this time, they had the reins off and they went with it. So I think it had its place and it had its uses.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely doesn't hold up against the first one. Incredibles is by far the better movie.
It's a masterpiece. 10 out of 10 for me. Incredibles.
And think about all the buildup. How many years was between Incredibles 1 and 2?
Like 14.
13.
Yeah, 13. So think about the buildup. So to have a movie that you like, after loving The Incredibles, watching Incredibles 2, say, okay, that's a different movie and I like it. I mean, right there, that's an accomplishment.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the animation in the first one, even just the hair was revolutionary at the time.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And now they really didn't update the animation at all because it's still pretty much on point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. Sly dog, you got me monologuing. That's what I like. What I think my favorite thing about it, it's a superhero movie about superheroes. It takes that as a character, and you know, it's about superheroes. It's just wonderful.
Right, I agree. All right, so that swings us over. Michael, right? So, Michael, what's your? I'm a horrible host, by the way.
I've been saying that for years.
Why do I have to get with my guests to be like, all right, what do we do next? Okay, Michael, you're up, man. What's your number three?
All right, my number three. I kind of am going to piggyback off of Andy. I think this is one of the best castings that we've ever seen for a character. It's not. It also has Robert Downey Jr. in it, but he is not the main character. He is not the superhero we're looking for. I am talking about 2017's Spider-Man Homecoming.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow. Interesting Spidey entry here.
I'm going to let him talk first, but I have to say that's my number three as well.
We have a
matchup.
I'll let you talk about it when he's done. What I will say is that...
Great movie.
Can we all agree, in fairness, there are probably a lot of Spider-Man entries that could be on our list?
No, I can't.
You can't? Okay, I got something to say.
I'm sure you do.
But go ahead.
And I'm a proponent that Spider-Man 2 is not a great movie.
All right, we'll get there.
But
Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming captures what I love about Spider-Man in that he is the young kid who's full of wisecracks, who doesn't know what he's doing.
He's a kid!
But he always gets the job done.
Mm-hmm.
He is the everyman's hero.
Yeah.
He does everything he must and gets it done, despite the fact that it can cost him so very much in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marissa Tomei revolutionized Aunt May.
Yes,
how many times in my childhood did I think, oh, Aunt May's the super hot aunt? No. But Marissa Tomei definitely turned that around on all of us.
Right.
Love Marissa Tomei.
And Michael Keaton, who is consistently great in every superhero movie he's ever been in, flips it on us, goes from Birdman, the fallen superhero, to the Vulture.
Right.
Who is a villain that we can all relate to because we all have families, and we just want to make sure our families are taken care
of.
Sure. So he pushes the envelope and goes further than he should after he gets screwed over. Mm-hmm. So, and he's honorable because that scene at the end where he could have thrown Peter Parker under the bus and doesn't, unbeatable. Mm-hmm. The movie is full of everything I expect out of Spider-Man, and for the record, I'm wearing Spider-Man on my chest right now.
You are.
It's a great movie.
Well, that's your number three as well. Yes. I'll just say, I'll let you say your piece, and then I'll get my piece.
In my genre world, I call this In the Neighborhood. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I agree with everything that my friend Michael just said. It's this 15-year-old. I love that. Okay. This does this better than any other movie. This kid stumbles upon these powers, and now he's expected, okay, I have this responsibility, right? With great power comes great responsibility. But what do you do with that? Like, where do I find crime? I don't have a book that says, this is how you be a vigilante. Mm-hmm. So it shows and illustrates that he gets thrown into Civil War. So he's thrown with these Avengers, and they're telling him what to do. Fight this. Okay, I can do that. And then all of a sudden, he's left alone in New York. What does he do? So he tries to find crime and fails it the first couple times. This guy gets locked out of his own car, and he tries to save him from breaking into his own car and stuff like that. So I love this idea of this 15-year-old boy who's just trying to figure out what it means to be a superhero. I also love the neighborhood aspect. This is about a small-time villain. You know, even one thing Michael Keaton says in the movie is that we can't get too big. What do you want, the Avengers down here? We're just trying to make a living. We're just trying to provide for our families. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
You're young. You don't understand how the world works.
Yeah, but I understand that selling weapons to criminals is wrong.
How do you think your buddy Stark paid for that tower? Or any of his little toys? Those people, Pete, those people up there, the rich and the powerful, they do whatever they want. Guys like us. You and me. They don't care about us. We build their roads and we fight all their wars and everything. They don't care about us. We have to pick up after them. We have to eat their table scraps. That's how it is. I know you know what I'm talking about, Peter.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to understand.
I like that. Spider-Man's trying to figure out what it means to be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, what it means to be the everyman's hero, mm-hmm. what it means to save the guy from getting pickpocketed. Even at the very end of the movie when Tony Stark offers him, says, okay, you proved yourself. You're an Avenger now. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right.
So I love that in the neighborhood hero. This is our hero. If, you know, from the New York perspective, this is our hero. This is our guy. Spider-Man has always been New York's hero.
All right,
this is our guy.
All right, well.
Love it.
And those Cap cameos. Oh, those Cap cameos.
Yeah, Captain. Yeah. Well,
good stuff.
I love Homecoming. I do. I love the pick. It's not in my top 10 because I get blinded by what started it for me, okay? And Tobey Maguire was my Spider-Man, much like Christopher Reeve was my Superman. So I get blinded by that a little bit, but Spider-Man 2 is my number 3.
Interesting. We all have a Spider-Man. Okay. Yeah. That's a good movie. I like Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Three, I'm not going to...
No.
I'm not
going to... Very good.
Talk shit about Homecoming because I agree with everything you guys are saying. It just doesn't rank as high on my personal list. You know, what was cool about Spider-Man 2 for me back then and really still today when I watch it is that it's basically a kind of like a horror movie and a comic book movie synced together.
Yeah.
It's got very horrific elements incorporated into it. Sam Raimi's the director here and he did the Evil Dead series. So he's a horror director at heart. He also did Darkman, which I don't think is going to show up on anyone's list, but he did dabble in this a little bit.
Darkman.
1990s Darkman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he did dabble in this a little bit. But anyway, he's a very kind of dark, brooding horror director, and he took on this Spider-Man sequel. And the scene with Doc Ock in the hospital with the shadows of his tentacles, basically.
Great scene. Basically, one of the two best in the show.
Yeah, just killing people. Yeah. I mean, literally. And it's a very, I mean, imagine my 5-year-old son seeing that. I mean, it's a very horrific
Doc Ock
kind
is
of
a, is a really
scenery.
Cool villain, yeah.
And Alfred Molina killed it. One of my favorite villains in any comic book movie is Molina in this picture. You know, Tobey Maguire's cheesy as Spider-Man, but it was the first cinematic Spider-Man I got into. And he kind of stuck with me in that way. I even like Spider-Man 3 a little bit. It gets shit on. But I like it. I love Venom as a villain. And I like him in
garbage.
The movie. Yeah, it's garbage. I mean,
it's
garbage.
It's just too much.
And I see that.
It's just too much. You threw too many villains in there. You can't
focus you're trying to do too much.
Yeah.
But I just love it, man. The whole kind of falling out of love with Mary Jane and having to win her back and just the whole story in Spider-Man 2. And, you know, he's having a real personal and internal struggle with himself, which you would think would happen in real life if you were Spider-Man. You know, you would really have those types of struggles. And I thought Sam Raimi did an awesome job. Just visually, it's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's basically the only horror comic book movie that I can think of. So that's why it's my number three. I do love Homecoming as well.
I prefer Spider-Man over Spider-Man 2 of the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one too. Spider-Man 2 has what is, to me, one of the most iconic scenes in any of the Spider-Man movies. The train scene.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The crowd
has Spider-Man up in the air.
He's just a kid.
And he's just a kid. They took him out. They're carrying him away to protect him. Mm-hmm. And that to me is it kind of touches on that.
Yeah, he's New York's our hero. This is our hero.
So I definitely get the emotion behind it.
You got any more ideas? I got a few.
And Spider-Man 2, for Gerald's sake, he's a villain lover. So, of course, he's going to love the one that focuses on the villain and makes you want to love the villain.
It does. It's a dark story. It's a dark chapter in the story.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Totally makes sense why pick. I love it. Yeah.
It's not mine.
The first Spider-Man is actually on my honorable mentions. But one and two, I almost like equally. But the first one, I feel like, is the introduction to what I would call the new age of comic book movies. Back then, with that and X-Men, where they were making movies where finally they had the ability cinematically to create the things we imagined. Mm-hmm. So you see Tobey Maguire flying through the air and you believe it. Like, oh, this is what it would look like. Mm-hmm. This is what it would feel like. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just think they did a really good job. I love those movies.
Oh, yeah. No, when it came out, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was revolutionary.
Rewatchability. I bought the DVD. I watched it a couple times.
Yeah, watched it several times.
That's a good pick, man.
And, you know, hey, my wife looks like Kirsten Dunst a little bit, so.
She does.
I've heard it for 16 years, 17 years.
So I like that,
she
too.
Does.
So when they cast Mary Jane, I was like, yay.
You can finally wear your Spider-Man outfit.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. All right, tonight, I'll be Spider-Man.
I can't get her to do the upside down kiss with me, though. She won't do that. Yeah. Mainly because I can't hang upside down. All right, well, Spider-Man's across the board.
Isn't that weird?
Homecoming for you guys at three and Spider-Man 2 at three for me. Yeah. And that takes us to our runner-ups.
Number two!
We got our special guest, Michael, here. He's a fan and contributor to the show. He's been killing it so far. What's your number two, man?
My number two actually had another movie on my list at number four had I not eliminated movies with the same character.
Okay.
My number two, the actor is not the perfect portrayal. No, he is the character.
Ooh.
He has embodied everything it means to be this character. And I'm going with the first one. The Captain America First Avenger.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Absolutely.
I would have thought you would have went Winter Soldier, but go ahead.
Most people prefer Winter Soldier, I'll admit that. And it was on my list. Like I said, it was in my top eight. It was actually tied for fourth. But Chris Evans is Captain America.
Chris Evans is awesome.
You get that opening part where he's not Captain America, and they did the wonderful tricks with cinematography to make him look little.
This little runt, basically.
So the power scene where he comes out of the tube and he's got all the superpowers, and Hayley Atwell is all over herself about it, who, incidentally, her portrayal of Peggy Carter is fantastic and got its own spinoff TV series. Mm-hmm. Another reason it deserves a bunch of credit.
I like Peggy Carter, too. Let's go ahead and tell you guys.
But
I also like Hayley Atwell.
That's the first time I've heard your creepy voice.
I also like Hayley Atwell. Carry on.
Yes, absolutely. But this kind of changed what it meant to make a superhero movie, because this was the first superhero movie that wasn't a superhero movie. It was a movie about a specific topic. It was about World War II.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah, sure.
It was about Americans punching Nazis like we're supposed to do.
Sure, yeah.
So,
all he wanted to do was be a good soldier.
Exactly.
That's what he wanted. I want to serve my country. Captain America.
Here we got Steve Rogers wanting to punch Nazis, wanting to win the war, and this embodied that. And it was really a war movie that they put a superhero in. So it kind of revolutionized the idea of what it is to be a superhero movie.
Sure.
We don't have to just make the costume character flying around the streets of New York or Gotham or wherever.
Right.
We can make a movie and put superheroes in it.
Because, I mean, this is going to get a little, you know, cheesy or whatever, but, I mean, a lot of people would look at our military as superheroes.
That's true. That's very true.
And
that's very true.
I mean, if you strip everything away, Captain America's a soldier.
Yes, and if you think about it, if you think to one of the other movies where Captain America's the only one who can budge Thor's hammer, and that's not just because of his physical strength, that's because of his moral goodness.
Mm-hmm.
He is 100% a good person.
Yeah, sure.
Now, that's Chris Evans moving the hammer. It's actually not Captain America. It's totally Chris Evans.
That's all Chris. But if you talk about the second movie, the second movie is about him coming to grips. Is that the second one? About him coming to grips with what it means to be good, even when your country is not good? Was it the second one or the third one?
Both.
Yeah, okay,
kind of always.
But so what does it mean
to have this moral compass when the people you are working for, you find, okay, I don't like what you're doing. So he becomes
one,
that guy.
The second one has a lot to it, but I'm not going to go into that because I don't want to possibly.
No,
Captain America.
It's going.
All of them.
First Avenger.
All of them have been wonderful.
First Avenger.
Winter Soldier, Civil War, all of them have been
Winter's, I'll just give a spoiler. It's not going to be in my top two. Winter Soldier is on my honorable mentions.
That's a great movie.
And that would be the one I would pick from that, you know, catalog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like I said, it was in my top eight. It was hard to pick between the two.
Yeah, sure.
Ultimately, it came down to casting and rewatchability for me.
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right, man. So, Andy.
Numero dos.
Peas are back together.
You're going to notice. You're going to notice. I got to talk like this. You're going to notice by my number two and my number one that I also love villains. Two's been mentioned before, but I call it the arch nemesis. It's The Dark Knight featuring Heath Ledger as Joker. This movie comes down to one iconic scene where Joker is pent in the interrogation room and Harvey Dent allows Batman to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And that conversation shows you why the Joker and Batman are arch nemesis. Because Joker says, look at me, don't look at them. They don't love you. They don't understand you. I get you. I know you. You're not one of them. They have this loose morality that they construct, but throw a little bit of chaos in there and they let it all go. You and I, we are above that.
Right.
So this idea that Joker is just trying to prove that the world is naturally chaotic.
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. No, you complete me.
You're garbage. You kills for money.
Don't talk like one of them. You're not. Even if you'd like to be. To them, you're just a freak. Like me. They need you right now. When they don't, they'll cast you out. Like a leper. You see, their morals, their code. It's a bad joke. We've dropped at the first sign of trouble. They're only as good as the world allows them to be. I'll show you. When the chips are down, these civilized people, they'll eat each other.
Batman agrees that the world is chaotic, but he's trying to insert some goodness into it and prove that beyond the chaos, humans are naturally good.
Right.
So it comes down to this element. Are humans naturally good? Or are humans naturally evil? And that movie, I mean, we talked about it already, but Heath Ledger kills it.
Yeah.
This is my card. That's the Joker. When his friend gets shot and he picks him up in the street, goes, ah! And like, I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah, he's just,
it's wonderful. But The Dark Knight is a great movie. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, you're right. It's a villain movie, but I love it.
Yeah, me too.
I love it. Like I said, it would be higher on my list if we were talking about villain movies. Yes. If we were doing comic book movies, it would be higher on my list. But because of the superhero aspect of it, I put it lower.
No.
But don't get me wrong. The movie is amazing. Heath Ledger is amazing. Unfortunately, it's the role that literally killed him.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You see that, like, you know, giving yourself over to your work, giving yourself over to a role, that you're absolutely right. Heath Ledger did that. He gave himself over to that insanity. I think, I don't know, you probably know more than I do about this, but he was keeping himself up at night because he was trying to feel what it would be like to live in that insanity. And you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he couldn't let go of the character. From what I've read and what I've understood, it was like it's a level of the method acting where he just could not let go of being the Joker. And that was keeping him up at night. And it was a mix of things that led to his
drove him crazy.
But basically. I mean, amazing movie. One of the best theatrical performances as far as a villain. And
I mean, I agree.
I'd honestly say it might even be my number one acting portrayal of a villain in all movies.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I mean, it's up there, no doubt. Yeah. All right. So
we're my numero dos.
We're going to do top five villains someday. So
yeah. Are we?
Yeah, anytime.
Are we? Blah, 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 blah. Are you?
All right. So let's see. What am I? My runner up. Okay. My runner up.
Is there a plural to nemesis? Nemesis.
Nemesis.
They are just such nemesis.
Yes, they are. All right, so my number two and number one have been mentioned. My number two is... Let me scroll.
Dude, you don't remember?
Swap
he is scrolling on his computer because he doesn't remember.
Let me check my Matrix grid.
He's already mentioned three titles, and that's the most his brain can.
My number two is from 2017 is Logan.
Oh.
So my son.
Now I got to go home and watch it.
Yeah, my son. Yeah, actually, Bart. My son's namesake. Obviously, he's literally named after Logan, named after Wolverine. We found. We went through the comic encyclopedias and we found the name that we liked. And we.
Your wife
on
let
Logan.
You do this?
Yes, absolutely.
We got to use the comic book character.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean, Michael said it beautifully, but this is Wolverine's swan song. It's really Hugh Jackman's swan song. I mean, he's been playing this character for what 15 18. Years? 18
it was
years.
17 when the movie came out. Yeah. So yeah. I mean, 17 years.
He's been this character for 17 years. You know. And just knowing on set, I can imagine that I'm never going to be doing this again. I'm never going to be portraying this again. So, of course, the story plays out to where he meets his demise in the film, his character. Mm-hmm. But you also get a sense that Hugh Jackman feels that death, too. Yeah. You know, like, this is the last time I'm going to be Wolverine, you know. And you just got to imagine what that would be like. Because that's really
and
embodied
you get
him.
Such great juxtapositions during the course of the movie of different ways to play Wolverine with some of the plot lines that go on.
Sure.
I'm not trying to spoil it for Andy because he hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
But there are so many opportunities to see how far Wolverine goes and how far he comes. It really is it's a masterpiece. Absolutely.
It really is. And the father-daughter story is amazing. Patrick Stewart's awesome. It's the only comic movie, at least by memory, that I've cried in my life.
I cry in all of them.
In my life.
I can't help it.
I seriously cried at least twice, maybe three times during the course of this movie. Yeah.
I got teary-eyed, you know. Now, I got a little bit of goosebumps in a couple that, you know, and one recently, actually, where, you know, you got a little bit of goosebumps, but the story's not over yet, so I'm not going to, like, freak out. But with Logan.
Off Avengers? What?
You know what I'm talking about. But with Logan, I mean, it's emotional, man. It's an emotional ride, especially if you take in what it means for that universe and Wolverine's character and Hugh Jackman specifically. Yeah. But it's just a great, I mean, it's shot beautifully. Do you remember the director on this? Who was the director on this?
I don't remember.
I feel like it's a big name, but I can't remember. But anyway, it's a beautiful movie to look at.
Yeah.
And it's very, very different from anything we're listing today because it's not like, you know, Cape Crusaders fighting in the streets and all that stuff. It's Logan trying to survive, trying to save his daughter. You know,
there's
what I mean?
No costumes at all. We're not talking about
X-Men.
About saving the world. It's about saving your spot.
Right.
And that, in essence, is what saving the world is all about. Right. I mean, it's our personal journey. And that's what I love about superheroes, not to get too deep, but are expressions of who we are. When we're talking about superheroes, supermen, superwomen, we're talking about it's almost religious. It's the expression of our best and worst qualities. Yep. If you're talking about villains and superheroes, we all want to be strong. We all want to do the right thing. We all want to fight for our spot and our children. We all have these tendencies. I mean, these are the characters we want to be. These are our heroes.
Sure thing, man.
You know what I mean? It's like,
well, a little crossover there with me and Michael, and then, we'll see what happens. I think you guys know what my number one is, but we're going to give our number ones, guys.
Number I knew what your number one was when we made this list.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I could assume what your number one is.
Yeah, you know, but I mean what's funny.
Knows. Everyone knows.
Do you guys want me to give mine first then, since everybody knows it?
I mean, we can do this.
I'll give mine first.
I mean, I think I've already said it.
But what's, you have, both of you have. Well, what's funny though is, and Michael knows this because we've been friends for a long time, but I used to write movie reviews on a blog and used to have a website. And back then, we did top 10 lists like once a month. You remember that?
Yeah, no, it was at least once a month.
And we did, and this was in 2010, I want to say, we did top 10 superhero films. And this is only Iron Man had really come out at that point. Like MCU.
You had Hulk, which is technically a part of the MCU with Ed Norton. And then you had the Iron
Man.
Which
is a pretty good movie. Oh, yeah. Pretty good movie.
So, I mean, you got to imagine what's happened in the last 10 or 8
years. So this movie still stands up.
Yes.
This was my number one
when I did that. It's still my number one. Yeah. Nothing has been able to top it in my mind. Everything Michael said earlier about it kind of towing the line for the quote superhero tag makes sense. But it's a Batman movie to me. The Dark Knight 2008 is my number one. You guys both talked about it. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I mean, Heath Ledger, forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even talking about in superhero movies. I'm just talking about just an acting performance that I can remember in the last 20, 30 years. It's got to be top 10 of the last 20, 30 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Method. I mean, just became that character. Like you said, he embodied chaos. He embodied mayhem. You know, some men just want to watch the world burn. You know, and you really felt that with his portrayal
in the hospital room with Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Dent, if he has the gun, he goes, "Heads, you live; tails, you die." He takes the gun. Heath Ledger just puts it to his head and says, "Now you're talking."
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it.
Now, yes. Let that decide because to him there is no morality. Let that decide. Yeah. That's just as good as anything. The money will burn.
Now, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers away from what y'all's number ones may be, but you know, Christian Bale's not not, quote, my Batman, but I did like his portrayal of Batman.
Oh, he's my Batman. He is not my Bruce Wayne.
Okay, I got you.
My he's Bruce. Batman. Yes, I think he embodied, I think, kind of, he embodied what it was to be a different person as Batman versus Bruce Wayne.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
For me, he actually separated himself better than any other of the portrayals of Batman previously. Bruce Wayne is Michael Keaton.
No, absolutely. Yes. Well, my Batman's Michael Keaton too, but yes, absolutely. I
Sir,
get
we
what
need
you're
to
saying.
Open some more of the champagne. How many cases? Six. Yes, six is good.
Bruce Wayne.
You want to get nuts? Come on.
Let's get nuts.
What about the scene with him and Vicki Vale at the table?
Hold on, dude. You're getting ahead of me here. I'm talking about 2008's Batman, not 89.
But with 2008's Batman, one of the things I also love about it, how Batman becomes the villain, because I'll be what the people need me to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's also a beautiful kind of Batman portrayal that, you know, Batman is not Spider-Man. He's not liked by everybody. In fact, he's a vigilante and he's disliked by half of the city. But he takes that on and he does what he has to do. Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't think that's fair to Spider-Man. There is J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. That's true. We forgot to mention him from the Spider-Man films. But
what was
that
actor's
I love
name?
Him.
He was so
That was
good.
J.K. Simmons.
Yeah?
J.K. Simmons, who was in Whiplash. He's a great actor.
So good.
But anyway, The Dark Knight's my number one. I mean, Michael knew 10 years ago when I told him that we were going to do this, that would be my number one.
Libel.
Nobody has, no movie, in my opinion, has topped it. There's been a couple that have been like just mesmerizing to see on the big screen and stuff. But this movie, I mean, it's just so many things, you know, a superhero movie, a villain story, a crime drama, a thriller. I mean, there's a lot going on in this movie. The scene where the special effects, where they did the practical effects with the 18-wheeler truck flipping over.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Joker coming down the middle of the street with the machine gun, like, hit me. You know, that whole scene, like, it's just like, I went to see that movie in the theater, you remember, probably four or five times, just because I was just like, this is fucking amazing. Just for that one scene alone on the big screen, you know. Hopefully people
did you get
to
see it in IMAX? I didn't see it in IMAX.
I feel like, no, I don't think I did.
Okay, because that scene apparently is even better in IMAX because it stretches the width of it.
Oh, I can imagine.
So unfortunately, I didn't get to experience that.
I don't think I did either.
I did get to experience all three of the movies on opening night of Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
So I went and did the marathon session of all three movies in the theater.
That's awesome.
Which was fantastic.
And in the trilogy, we're talking about Christian Bale's Batman, he was... I think he did the best in Rises, Christian Bale.
But I didn't see that. Did y'all like that?
His performance was better.
That's what I mean.
But the movie was
better. No, that's what I mean. I feel like his performance was the best because he knew that was probably going to be it for him.
It's probably going to be his last time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I got to get some cough drops.
All right.
I'm just tired.
So no surprise. My number one's A Dark Knight. I'm going to let you guys give your number ones. Michael, you go first.
Number uno.
I'm going to get real deep here.
I thought you were going to say nuts. I'm going to get nuts.
My number one is actually the newest movie on my list.
Okay.
It will probably surprise Gerald quite a bit.
Jesus.
So my number one is, to me, the perfect superhero story. Because superheroes are to us what the epic heroes were in Greek mythology.
They are exactly
follow that cycle. And this movie follows that cycle better than any other superhero movie that's ever been made. You see the hero ready. You see the hero being trained. You see the hero having that existential crisis. The hero falling, losing their powers, having to bow before their enemies and rise again and fight against and change, grow, and become the king that their people needs. I'm talking about 2018's The Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw that just recently, actually, like in the last month.
Oh, you did see it recently? Yeah. Oh, it's okay, good. You can, Michael, go ahead. I mean, go ahead and give a little elaboration on it, and I'll let Andy, because he just saw it, so we'll see what you think.
So, performances are what really, like, I just went over about the fact that this is the quintessential hero story, but the casting was unbelievable in this movie. Chadwick Boseman was fantastic. The fact that he's from South Carolina and is a Southern boy and comes off as the perfect African prince.
I didn't even know he's from South Carolina.
Yeah, he actually went to high school with a friend of mine.
Oh, really? Cool. I didn't even know that.
The fact that he pulled that off in such a way that, like, I had no idea he was from South Carolina until my friend said he went to high school with him. So there you go. Michael B. Jordan is Marvel's best villain.
Oh, forget it. He's the best villain since the Joker. We were just talking about. In my opinion, he's the best villain that's been
on
screen.
Absolutely. And he's my second best villain of all time.
Yes. So when it comes time for another king, we will be ready.
Another king? Yeah, go ahead and burn all that.
My king, we cannot do that. It is our tradition.
When I tell you to do something, I mean that shit.
Burn it all.
Now, my daughter made an argument. I know you didn't hear it because it's on Patreon, but we did a performances of the year.
Okay.
And she made an argument that he's not a villain. He's actually a good guy.
Because
he's fighting for his people.
I'll get into that.
And he's trying, you know.
Exactly. Okay.
He has understandable reasons. He has understandable goals. Everything that he wants to have happen, his end goal of making his people stronger, he wins. Because Black Panther goes through and decides, you know what?
He's right.
He's wrong about how to do
it. Yes, his method's wrong.
He's Malcolm X to Black Panther's Martin Luther King Jr. Like, one is the revolutionary, one is the pacifist that wants to lead
people. So they want the same outcome.
Yeah. They're just going out about it in a different way.
Okay.
Letitia Wright steals every scene she's in.
Yeah. Which one is that?
That's the sister.
The sister.
Oh, yeah.
She is absolutely fantastic. This is Civil War done better, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've got Okoye versus Wakabe, the head of the guard versus the border tribe leader, they're married and they're fighting to the death to protect what they believe is the right side of their people.
Right.
It's comics are our myths, and this is the perfect portrayal of comics being our myths. It has a mix of technology, it has a mix of magic. You've got the spirituality to it.
Oh, absolutely.
T'Challa goes on his call to adventure. He hunts Claw. He leaves home. His revenge is stolen. From casting to storytelling to creating a relatable villain, this is the greatest superhero movie ever.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Off the lips of Michael Thrill.
I saw it recently.
Yeah, go ahead. So you just saw it. I saw it in the theater. Go ahead.
Now, it completely lived up to the hype. What I love when good versus evil is not black and white. I love when it's all gray. And I think as a storytelling entity, we are getting better and better and better at that. Because, you know, Wakanda, he comes into being a king in Wakanda, but he finds out over time that maybe his dad, who he loves, idolizes as, you know, his god, his king, maybe did it wrong and maybe made the wrong decisions, did make some of the wrong decisions. So he has to learn and go beyond that. Mm-hmm. The idea that in ritual combat, he has the powers of the Black Panther taken from him, meaning that power's not about these super strength. This is not where power comes from. And it proves that you have to earn these powers. So I love that he has to go through that. And of course, like you said, the villain is wonderful. He's intelligent. He has reasons. He wants to better the world. I mean, he's from the slums, watched his, I guess, quote, his people, or the people he's identifying with, be poor, and he watched his dad get killed, or he witnesses the death of his father. And then here's this isolated place that he's from, that he's a member of, that has enough technology to save the world, and they're doing shit. So, I mean, everything about the movie, you're absolutely
right. Well, I'll just give my little piece on it real quick. It's in my honorable mentions. It's like Michael said, it's a watershed movie. It's a revolutionary film. All superhero films that come after it will be a little bit different because of it. And we've already seen some of the impact from that with some of the Avengers films. But I loved it. I thought it was, you know, we're going to be talking our best movies of 2018 here in a little while with a couple friends of ours, and this one might get some shout outs. I don't know, from me or from others, but it's definitely one of the best of the year. So just period in cinema. Great movie. Michael B. Jordan for me is what really does it for me. I mean, you guys know I'm a villain guy, obviously. Oh,
yeah. Golden Jaguar is the man.
But, you know, Killmonger is just, I mean, he like I said, in my opinion, is the best villain in a comic book based film I've seen since Heath Ledger.
It's the only villain that Marvel has done right, because most of their villains die at the end of the stories, and you don't get the chance for them to grow and become the nemesis that they need to be.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And he dies.
In the comics,
well,
they're there forever, you know? I mean, the comics, they might die, but they come back.
Exactly, you know? But we haven't seen that happen.
Right.
Who knows what's going to happen later this year, but we haven't seen that happen yet.
Cool, brother. Hey, man, good pick. You're right, though. I didn't see it coming. Yeah. I didn't expect you to pull that one out. I thought you might be in the Marvel Universe, but I didn't expect Black Panther. So.
It was very hard for me to not just be in the Marvel Universe straight across.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's very difficult.
All right, Andy, you're the only one left, man.
What's your number one, I call the ultimate. I just think this is the ultimate superhero movie. I love a good villain. I love a sympathetic villain. And there are days when I look out at the world and I go, I would do this too. Mm-hmm. I would do this too. It's just morally wrong, but you're convincing me. It's not just about this movie. It's about what Marvel did leading up to this movie. It's about what they did starting with Iron Man. They have built and built and built and built and built to Avengers Infinity Wars, which is one of my favorite movies, but it's definitely my favorite superhero movie of all time.
Okay.
It lives up to the hype, and that's hard when you have how many movies? What, 10, 15?
Like 20 something.
18 movies leading up to it, all leading up to this one villain, this one moment, and I think they do it wonderfully. When these characters come in, you already care about them. I'm in tears at the very beginning. You already care about all these characters. You already care about what's happening. You've been talking about this villain the whole time, and he's sympathetic. Mm-hmm. He sees what's happening. Thanos is from a place called Titan, and Titan is losing its resources. It has too many people. So he says, you know what? Let's just half our population. It's just simple. It's just simple math. Yeah. There's not enough for us here to thrive. I'll be involved, and we'll just off half of us.
You know, there's a website you can go to see if Thanos killed you. You can type into ThanosSaveMe.com, so
my wife and I both survived.
Did you?
At first, you think, oh, this is kind of crazy. But then he tells Gamora the story. He goes, what happened to your world? You were starving. You were going from, you know, trying to slave away to get a meal, and now, thanks to me, your planet is thriving. Mm-hmm. I did that. So this idea that I will be the villain. I will be the monster everybody wants me to be, and then when it's over, I will sit, I will rest, and I will look out on a thankful universe. I love that, and I love the fact that in this section, in this selection, he does it. They let him do it. I'm glad they let him win.
But all the
characters coming back together, I love all these characters. I'm a junkie for Marvel characters.
Sure, yeah.
They brought them all back. Then these epic battles, you have Thor trying to get the hammer again.
Epic's the best word,
epic,
man.
Epic. I mean, I'm a sucker for epic.
Yeah.
And this, I believe this movie has lived up to the
I'll let Michael answer, of course. I want to know what Michael thinks. But are you more excited for Captain Marvel or Endgame?
Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame. Captain Marvel. We got to wrap it up, right?
I know you have to see Captain Marvel because
you're more excited she's for the one who's Captain Marvel today, or Endgame? Michael. Here it is. You got to drop it, man. Which one are you more excited for? What's the excitement level?
I really don't know. I've quit watching trailers.
Okay.
I'll watch a teaser, but I won't watch a trailer. So
okay.
If I know I'm going to watch a movie, there's no need to see the trailer because they give away too much now.
Yeah,
so,
Marvel's coming soon. Captain Marvel's coming.
Yeah, Captain Marvel is very soon. I'm looking forward to that immensely because it's Marvel's first foray into a female lead.
And from what I've heard, she's the same actress.
It's an 80s movie. Yeah. I mean, so we get a period piece that's an 80s movie, and Gerald and I both love the 80s.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure Andy loves the 80s.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is it's an 80s movie.
Oh, yeah, it's clearly an 80s movie. Yeah. I think that that's a big push for it. I think part of the problem for Endgame is I see where the end is going already, so... Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen in Captain Marvel. In Endgame, I kind of know what's probably
going to
happen.
Yeah, you know, they're setting it up too because Captain Marvel's in March, Endgame's in April.
Yeah.
So I think Captain Marvel is going to be integral in Endgame.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. She was alluded to in the final scene of the post-credit scene for Infinity War. Yeah. So I think it's her origin story, and it's also going to probably the end credit scene is going to bridge the gap and put her side of that emergency message that Nick Fury sends out.
And we're talking about villains.
When he has to get the Soul Stone and he has to give up something he loves, and Gamora's like, haha, you know, well, you don't love anything. And because he's a monster, he's a villain, he doesn't love anything. But he turns around with a tear in his eye, picks Gamora up, and drops her off the cliff.
Right.
And you know he's doing that, and he doesn't want to do that. He's making this sacrifice for something he loves. And I mean, it's beautiful. And
how about that cameo from the villain from Captain America, the First Avenger?
Yes!
I'm He-Man, because my God, did he look like a Skeletor.
Just like Skeletor.
Josh Brolin played Thanos. Josh Brolin, Goonies.
Jonah Hex.
We don't trade lines.
Jonah Hex, yeah.
That's what I said. I said it was Jonah Hex. I can't remember.
Well, I don't know if you guys realize this. You both named 2018 films as your number ones.
I guess they're just getting better.
I was going to say, that kind of tells the story of where we're going with
60%
the
of my list came out in
2017
or later.
I made a little stat here. Made a little stat. So in my 10, because I told you guys, I do a 10 basically. So in my top 10, I had 3 films that would fall in the DCU. I had 2 films that would fall in the MCU. 2 films that would fall in the Foxverse, which is basically X-Men films. 1 or 2 from the Sonyverse, and then 1 other film, which would be The Incredibles.
You are very broad.
Yeah, if we include my honorable mentions, it gets pretty broad as well.
All right, so I'll tell you what. Let's do it real quick.
Before you go, I didn't ask. Did you like Infinity Wars, Michael?
I did like it. Yeah. It falls in the same issue of I kind of saw where it was going.
Yeah.
So
not a lot of surprises.
There wasn't a whole lot of surprises. Yeah. So it actually is the movie that pushed me to stop watching trailers because there was so much given away in those.
Actually, you got a good point there.
That's
true. Now, I didn't know they would let him. I mean, I guess I didn't think about there being a sequel. I didn't know they'd let Thanos win at the end.
Yeah, but, and that's
well, it's not the end, though.
I didn't even consider it part of the list because it's not a complete movie.
That's
it's
true.
Two
too.
Parts of one.
That's
movie.
Like Kill Bill
totally,
1 and 2. You know?
Exactly. Do you, yeah. Can yeah. you can you pick between Kill Bill?
But 1 and Infinity 2? War is epic, brother.
Man, it's so
I mean,
hey, The Bride. There's another superhero for you.
That is true. The Bride. We could have went there.
Yeah, we could have.
I'm surprised you didn't stray off. I thought you were going to do Neo or some shit from the Matrix.
No.
I honestly was expecting Luke Skywalker.
Here's the thing. Star Wars is its own genre.
That's true.
We don't talk about Star Wars and compare it to any other movie.
Well, that's true.
It's its own genre.
That's true.
I mean, because
and we've already done Star. Well, we did Star Wars scenes.
And the Jedi, they're not superheroes. I mean, come on.
Should we do top five?
Are they not superheroes? They train incredibly hard.
Well,
they follow a mythology.
That's
true. They follow.
We don't have time to get Andy started on Star Wars. No, we don't have time to get you started on Star Wars.
So does Batman.
That's true too.
All right, so look, we're already at an hour. So let's honorable mentions. So just real quick, a few honorable mentions that you didn't get to talk about today, Michael. What was outside of your top five?
Wonder Woman very nearly made my top five.
Really?
I had a hard time not putting it on there, but ultimately the third act killed it for me because the third act was just not very good.
That's what I just told Andy this morning. We were just talking about that movie this morning.
Yeah, the first two acts were absolutely masterpieces, and the third act just lost so much of the steam that
I agree with that.
But if I were picking superhero scenes. The scene where it's called No Man's Land, where Wonder Woman steps out of the trenches,
is war,
absolutely epic.
Well, that's where she becomes Wonder Woman.
Yes, more not or less, just, that is powerful. That is her moment.
Yeah.
And that kind of steals the
I
movie
will be
for
your
me.
Hero, yeah.
So Wonder Woman would definitely be on my list. The Incredibles got mentioned already. Iron Man got mentioned already. X-Men, the original. That's like the modern era of comic book movies. Like Andy said about Spider-Man, for me, it's X-Men. It came out 2 years beforehand.
That's true.
And it had a lot of quips to it that were throwbacks to the comics that you got if you were a comic book fan, but it didn't take away from the movie if you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes about yellow spandex, the flipping the middle finger with the claw. There's so much there. X2, going back to scenes, the opening scene in X2 is one of my favorite scenes.
And the ending scene.
The opening scene to me is
Remind me, what is
the
scene?
The opening scene is Nightcrawler infiltrating the
White House. Oh, yes!
And
Nightcrawler
is my number one superhero.
And
so
cool. And X2 is the end.
He's religious.
Jean Grey
like,
and
like
the water,
Catholic
right?
or something.
And that's how it ends.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like prayers etched on his skin.
Yes.
Or like that.
Nightcrawler is Andy as a superhero.
Yay, me! I'm the Nightcrawler. I got a tail. I want a tail so bad.
And Batman, 1989.
Of course, I can't believe it didn't get. I can't believe you didn't mention it.
Yeah, it was
got mentioned.
I can't believe it wasn't in the top five.
Everybody picked The Dark Knight.
I know. I thought,
and that's
thought,
why. That's why I agree with Michael. And it's hard for me to pick two movies of the same character.
Yeah,
but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman.
But I thought you were going to go
nostalgia Batman and Teenage Mutant
89
Ninja Turtles.
Over
begun.
Dark
that's
Knight. That's just what I thought.
I love Michael Keaton. I love.
All right.
Yeah.
Any others?
Superman started it all. Like
78?
You said. Yep. Yeah, 78 Superman. And then kind of piggybacking off of the Captain America First Avenger idea that Marvel started making movies and putting superheroes in it. You got your heist movie with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Your space opera with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, Guardians! I love that movie.
Your buddy cop movie with Thor 3, Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. You got your spy movie with Captain America Winter Soldier. Like, they just keep making genre movies and putting superheroes in them. Mm-hmm. And it makes me love those movies even more.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right, Andy, you got any honorable mentions, brother?
Everything that Michael said.
fair enough.
Tim Burton's Batman could have been number five just as easy as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles did because I love that. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, that was my X-Men. That was my introduction into the new age of superhero movies. That was a good one. Loved Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, this is a movie that no one seems to like, but as far as a good villain, I loved Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. I think Ultron is such a cool villain because
I like James Spader too.
Yeah, because Bruce Banner, am I right? Bruce Banner and Tony Stark work hard to create a consciousness that'll protect the Earth because of what Tony's just seen. So they do it. They create this consciousness. It wakes up. Now, this is pre-vision. It wakes up. It says, who am I? And it immediately downloads the entire history of the Earth and realizes, I can't do my job. My purpose is to save humanity, or to save the Earth, quote, the Earth, and I can't do it. What's the best thing to do? Well, humanity's a plague. Get rid of them and you'll save the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's the thing when you look out of your door sometimes, you watch the news, you're like, well, I kind of agree with that. You
know all right,
I mean?
Cool, man.
If you want to save the Earth, we'll get rid of the humans.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see what Gerald's...
Okay. I'll just run down. So, my top 10, I'll just finish out my top 10. My number 6 would have been Batman Returns from 92.
Right.
Danny DeVito. He is a great penguin.
I do love Batman 89, which would have fell about 12 or 13 on my list. But Batman Returns... Catwoman. I'll go on to my number seven. My number seven did things to me back in 92.
Shows up the first Gerald time. And the creepiness is with coming all out the, on this movie.
With the cartwheel. She stops, she's breathing. Yeah. And meow.
Yeah,
please.
It did things to me back in 92. Yeah. Number seven for me would have been 2016's Deadpool.
Deadpool. Yep.
Deadpool's great. Not a superhero.
I know. It's
anti-hero.
It toes the line a little bit.
That's a good point.
Number eight for me would have been Iron Man, which you mentioned. Number nine would have been Captain America Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And my number 10, which might be a surprise, which may get mentioned later today when I do my top five of the year, would have been Into the Spider-Verse.
I haven't seen it yet.
Into the Spider-Verse was fantastic. Yep. It did not make my list because I knew Homecoming was already on it.
Yeah, I understand.
Another reason. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to
understand. It would probably be my number nine. It was absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
it's just amazing. And a watershed animation film. I mean, nothing we've... It's literally a comic book brought to life.
It really is. It's really amazing. Even to the fact that the background is blurred.
Yep. I mean, they literally make it look like the pages of a comic book.
You guys need to take me to more
movies. That's it. So look, I'm going to head over to Twitter and do some fan feedback. And
are you?
Let you guys comment a little bit on what the fans said. Michael, do you have something? You're about to say something?
Yeah, we didn't mention Watchmen. We didn't mention Mystery Men.
I know.
There's a lot of great superhero movies that aren't in the DC or...
Well, maybe some of these will get mentioned over on Twitter then. So Wizard Podcast. Love those guys. Here's their five. A couple might surprise you guys. Blade 2.
I love Blade 2. Blade 2 is the best of the three.
I like when Blade came out. I was in love. I had a good soundtrack as well.
And then they also put The Dark Knight, Spider-Verse, Infinity War, and their number one was Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier. Everyone loves Winter Soldier.
Tell me if you guys think this is real. Netflix's Swill's top five: Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Justice League, Wonder Woman, and Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and then I just for the Wonder Woman.
And then I just put a gif of Good Lord. What the fucking list is that? I think he was kidding.
Clearly, but take Wonder Woman off that list. That's an insult.
Yeah,
to
I know.
Movie.
Don't put Wonder Woman in with those. Yeah, the Matt Lewinsky. This is a great dude, man. He's commenting every week, and he really is.
I hear his name every single week.
Yeah, and you can tell he loves Batman. He's got Batman 66 on here as his number five.
Adam West. Holy
basically
rusted
a made
metal
for TV
Batman.
Movie.
That was a made for TV movie.
Basically,
I thought it was just a TV
Adam
show.
West. Well, he was on a show too, but they did a TV
show,
movie.
But they did like a 2-hour special.
No way.
Where a bunch of politicians, world leaders get kidnapped and get turned to dust. Yeah. And they literally are on a metal boat and Dick Grayson goes, "Holy rusted metal Batman."
Oh, that's great. That's
classic, brother.
That's great.
He's also got Batman 89, Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe.
Speaking of Skeletor.
Oh, that's a great. I used to love that
movie. That's good, man. That's good.
And I used to love with the key. You play the key, the sound of the universe.
He's got O2 Spider-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy would have been his number one.
I don't think Guardians is a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's a space
but
action.
It's so good.
It's a space opera.
But it's also proving, like you said, that this thing we call superhero is expanding into so many different areas.
Absolutely.
You know?
But the Guardians themselves aren't superheroes.
That's true.
None of them have superpowers, really. And they're just people.
They're just awesome. Yeah. Well, Batman didn't have superpowers.
But he's got super training. And they really don't. Gamora.
And honestly, well, Batman,
Rocket
it could be made
built.
An argument that he wasn't a superhero.
Rocket
either.
Was
you
built
can make that
to
argument.
Be like a
you
battle could, bot. Could,
well,
a battle thing.
Comic book Batman is definitely a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. Certain movie versions of Batman fall more into the anti-hero.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Level.
Sarah Knightley over on Twitter said, X-Men First Class, Guardians, Wonder Woman, Batman 89, and her number one is, ding, 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 Black Panther.
I like her.
Yeah, she's good. And Brian Stever, this will be the last one we'll mention today, over on Twitter said, Avengers Infinity War, Wonder Woman, he's got it number four, Civil War, Superman the movie, and The Dark Knight.
Of course you love him.
I love that. He said it's incredibly difficult to narrow down, but he also loves Man of Steel, the first Spider-Man, the first X-Men, and the first Avengers. That's Brian from over on the Take Two podcast.
Man of Steel lost me when he snapped Zod's neck.
Yeah, a lot of people. That was divisive. That was divisive.
Superman would have flown Zod out of the city and would have caused the destruction, which caused the destruction of the DC universe in Batman versus Superman.
No, I get it. And then we wouldn't have had that pile of shit. Oh yeah, I get it. All right, so Andy, you want to do a final thought, man? That was our top.
Yeah.
Real quick before you do that, let's thank Michael. Now, look, he came over to the house here. Now, listen,
add some well-needed intelligence to the podcast.
Absolutely,
he speaks in complete sentences.
Now, I want
he writes
future
things down. He has matrices. He knows what the word matrix means.
Yeah, which
it's,
I don't.
You know, it's weird.
I want future guests to take notes here, all right? Because he brought us biscuits.
right?
Yeah,
he got us a extension for our headphones and picked that up when we came over. What else did you do? You brought something else over too, right? You brought coffee? Well, yeah, that was for you, but still. Yeah. I'm sure you would have given me a sip if I'd asked for it.
I offered you coffee. You said you had
it. Yes, right. You did offer me
interesting.
Coffee.
Interesting.
So he's here, man. He came in person. He's local to us, and we love this guy. He's awesome. He listens every week, shares the show online every week, gives feedback every week. And I knew this was your topic, man, so I'm glad you jumped on it. I do real quick before you give your final thought, I want to say rest in peace to Stan Lee.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, passed away in November. He just would have had his 96th birthday, actually, I saw online last week. He would
talk about individuals who, you know, gave us so much in terms of stories, in terms of imagination. I mean, he did probably more for superheroes in this genre than any other
person absolutely
ever will. I mean,
absolutely.
He is Marvel.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Michael had the idea to kind of do this countdown, which we would have gotten to eventually because you know, Stan Lee passed away, and that was just such a loss in this world. Mm-hmm. You know?
His wife passed away about 2 years ago, I knew it wasn't going to be long because they had been together for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like the Johnny Cash situation.
June Carter. Yeah.
Yeah, it was going to happen soon. So mm-hmm. That's about the same time the meme started going around that eventually we're going to get to a Marvel movie where we're not going to get the cameo.
Oh, we're not going to get the cameo.
He actually filmed a bunch of cameos about a year.
Yeah, he'll be in the ones coming out. Yeah, he was in Spider-Verse.
Yeah,
there was a cameo in
Spider-Verse. Yeah,
he was in Spider-Verse. And they had the tagline "Rest in peace, Stan Lee," or "Excelsior, Stan Lee."
Excelsior.
Yep, I agree. Love Stan Lee. Now, look on that. I'm going to let you give your final thoughts. Yes. So
me, yeah, I get to talk about final thoughts.
Give us your final thoughts. Your final thought. By the way, let's tell everyone next month we're doing top 5 romantic comedies,
rom coms,
and obviously Valentine's Day.
So I've seen 2 of those.
We're going to get cheesy. Yeah, we'll come up with 5. You need to watch 3 more before.
I can think of 5 movies that Sandra Bullock's been in.
Bird Box is not a romantic comedy.
Speed does not count.
Bird Box is not a romantic comedy. Don't put that on there. All right, what's your final thought, brother? Give it to us.
Well, the thing about superheroes are they are all just extensions of the qualities that we want to have. So when you look at these heroes, when you wonder why we love the Spider-Mans, the Captain Americas, the Hulks of the world, because they exhibit traits that we want to have. So when you go out in your world today, remember that you have those same traits, that you can be a super person too, that you can help, that you can give, that you can serve, that you can be a Batman.
That's actually kind of the theme to Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it really is. Anybody can be Spider-Man. Yeah. Anybody can be Spider-Man.
And that's the idea. Anybody can wear the mask. Yeah, that's right, man. Speaking of which, will you wear a mask next time you come over here? It's getting a little something going on up here.
Take it off the car.
There's a mask right there.
Yeah, we got one right there for you.
Vader.
He tried to get me to wear it.
There's a Spider-Man one behind you there. You can do that one if you want. Nice. Just anything would help, okay? Yeah, you need to be able to talk, though. So the little mouth holes or whatever. All right, guys, that's it. Michael, I want to thank you again, brother. It was awesome to have you here. Yeah, I hope you come back in the future, whether it's on Skype or coming to the crew or whatever.
Gladly.
All right, man, that's it. That was our top 5 superhero films. We will be back next month, Andy and I, when we do our top 5 romantic comedies.
Rom-com.
And we'll be back next week. You guys will be hearing us count down our top 5 movies. 2000.
That's crazy.
Not you, because you saw 2 movies and you just named both of them.
Have I seen more than 2?
All right. Not. Well, you saw Star Wars, so you saw 3. You saw Solo, so you saw 3.
Still haven't seen Solo.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. All right. Well, I'll leave on that note. Sorry.
It's on Netflix, man.
And I own it if you want to borrow it.
Just came out on Netflix.
I have no fucking idea why I own it, but I own it.
I mean, it's not a great movie. It's a good
movie. It's decent.
It's good. It's fun.
I love Amelia. I love Amelia Clark. I was upset she didn't ride a dragon.
Do me a favor. Take your expectations, put them in your sock drawer, close it.
Yeah.
And then just watch the movie. Just enjoy it.
Do me a favor. Watch it with a blindfold and you'll be all right.
I have no expectations because I think the movie's going to be garbage.
Yeah, just then you'll like it. I mean, it's fun. It's entertaining.
It's all right. It's okay.
I'm a sucker for Star Wars.
Is why I saw it. I love Amelia Clark from Game of Thrones.
Cheryl just loves Daenerys. That's it.
Daenerys Targaryen is my queen, brother. Yeah. Well, her and Taylor Swift. Yes. I don't think Taylor Swift's in Solo.
You just like her because she rides the dragon.
Taylor Swift with red hair, Gerald. What's your thought?
I'm okay with it. She can do whatever she wants to do, man. I'm okay with it.
That's terrible. You are creepy.
All right. Have a nice night, guys. I'll see you soon.
All right. Build a new world for us two.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.